So you've decided to give up that old behavior that's been killing you and all you care for and surrender to a power greater than yourself. That's the first step. Surrender is what opens the prison door. Now it's time to walk through that door and into a whole new way of life. Spirituality, self-care, service, social connection, and the simple daily disciplines that pave the way to lasting freedom. This is Positive Sobriety. Welcome to episode 42 of the Positive Sobriety Podcast.
42. That's almost as old as we are.
Well, I'll tell you, for devotees of Douglas Adams, this, of course, would be highly significant, since he put forward in his book, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the proposition that the meaning of life and the answer to everything is 42.
Really?
Oh yeah, 42.
My goodness.
Hey, now here's a weird thing, David. Too, you know, I've walked with and talked with hundreds of guys who've entered recovery, and it amazes me when I ask them how old they are. How many of those guys tell me that they are 42? I'll bet.
Wow.
Now I can't. This is not scientific, but just my sense is that if you were to graph the ages of the guys that I walk with, The top of the bell curve would be 42.
Yeah.
Maybe I just noticed that since I was 42 when I got into recovery.
I was 45.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what's significant. But anyway, it's episode 42 of the Positive Sobriety Podcast.
There
this may be as good as the podcast will ever get.
Yeah, that's it. We may have peaked.
That's right. Now, it does seem like we have progressively been getting better, although we started out super strong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that
number one episode with Ashley Cleveland. Come
on. Ashley, and she's still in our top 10 downloads.
Every week, the top 10. In the top 10 is Ashley.
Yeah. And I just speaking of Ashley, I've got to say, maybe this is name dropping, I don't know, but I got a chance to go to the Nashville Film Festival this weekend. And she has a documentary that someone, I wish I could remember the name of the director, but they've done a documentary on her life, which is amazing.
Wow.
And very well done, very well put together. And just raw and honest and true, and Ashley, of course, is Ashley in the whole thing, and just comes through with her real practical insights into her own recovery, into her own world. I think she just doesn't know any better than to be herself.
Yeah.
And it is so refreshing. And it's about a, I don't know, it's about a 90-minute, maybe a little over, but it goes by so fast. So it's entitled "Who's the Girl?"
Okay.
That basically, you know, her when she got a record deal, she did a lot of demos here in Nashville for years. As a songwriter and demo singer, and one of the record company heads heard a demo that she was on and wasn't, I guess, so much blown away by
the song,
the artist or the song, but he wanted to know who's the girl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of how it started. And she goes into her family and origin, upbringing, and her own story. And a lot of depth. So if it comes to your town, I know these documentaries that are so independent and, you know, they're fledgling budgets and things like that. But if it comes to your town or you have a chance to see it, or if, you know, by God's goodness, she's able to get it on Netflix or Amazon in there, if you see Who's the Girl, you got to take a watch.
It's
worth it. It's beautiful.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you are an executive at Netflix or Amazon,
exactly,
pull a lever and get Ashley, get that film Who's the Girl, into rotation.
I would love nothing more to see her just splashed all over the place with that. Yeah, she has a lot to say.
Yeah,
so good stuff.
Well, it just seems as though time is sailing by. How long has it been? I suppose I should know that, like a good lawyer, I should know the answer to the question
to
before
any question
I ask
you
it.
Ask.
Yeah. I don't know exactly when we started. It's been a year, a little over a year.
It's been right at a year. Yeah, okay. We've had some missed weeks and all that, and this being episode 42, I think we really are right at a year. I think we started in the early fall of last year, so we're pushing right around a year.
And we did have a guest for this week who we had rescheduled because he had to cancel early.
Yeah.
And now he has had to cancel again. But we're not going to go a week without putting up an episode. And
no.
We've got plenty is happening, and we got plenty to talk about.
Well, and in the meantime, you and I have been doing other people's podcasts.
We sure have, yeah. two big ones dropped this week that I was on. One was the Love Thy Neighborhood podcast, done by the Gospel Coalition and the Love Thy Neighborhood project, whatever that is. Yeah,
yeah.
And the Gary Wilkerson podcast as well, and that was also video, which was a little bit uncomfortable for me.
So you had to, like, look good and everything.
Well, let's just say I was on camera, and watching it was just reminded me I do have a face for radio. But, and let me see. You and I have both done the therapist theater.
Well,
typology.
Yeah, we did typology with Ian Cron, which was a great thing.
We got to have Ian back on, by the way.
Yeah, we do. He'd love to come.
Okay.
He would love to be here. But we did do the therapist theater with Josh Treese.
Yeah.
At different times. We have different ones. I just did our guest Chris Scott from an episode that just posted, the Fit Recovery Guy.
Okay.
I just did his podcast this week, so that'll come up in a couple of weeks. And I did a podcast with Andrew Osinga, who is an A&R guy. You did that podcast.
That's right, The Pivot.
The Pivot. It's about people that make changes in their lives kind of late in life or later in life.
Maybe around 42.
Maybe around 42,
yeah.
So it's kind of a, here's what I was doing, here's who I thought I was, and then some life happened, and I'm finding myself in a whole new lane. And you and I both did that individually as well.
Sure.
And maybe Andrew would do a guest on our show sometime too. But
speaking of the pivot, I made a pivot just a little over a week ago.
Yes, you did. I want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, you did a whole, like, jump up in the air and spin three times and turn a somersault pivot. A pivot sounds like you just kind of took it one click to the left or the right.
Yeah.
You made a big change.
I did. You know, I've been supporting myself and the family and, you know, with an engineering company, a technical writing and engineering company for 30 years.
Yeah.
And doing this recovery thing on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But as, you know, my awareness of the need has grown, as my experience and wisdom have slowly accumulated, and as requests for my time have begun to pile up, finally, man, what a scary thing to walk away from a sure paycheck.
Yeah.
Right? From a business where I'm the boss, to step into, you know, this kind of work full time. Scary and yet exciting at the same time.
Yeah, you know, it is exhilarating. And I mean, I'm excited on your behalf. I probably won't make your house payment, but I'm really excited on your behalf. But no, I mean, it is an exciting time because I think I talk to a lot of people, you know, in the work that I do, and there are a lot of guys that come in, men particularly, I think, that are, they're just so damn bored.
Yeah, right.
At 50, 55, 60.
Right.
You know, and they just don't have any passion, but they're riding out the retirement, you know, they're riding out the whatever. Got a kid in college, now's not the time to make a change in life, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm really I'm proud of you because I know it took a lot of courage to just kind of take the leap. I'm thrilled and happy and proud of Allie because I know it takes as much faith on her part as it does your part, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where you being able to invest yourself is going to land you and people that you speak into.
It's amazing. I'll tell you, David, as soon as I kind of made the decision, kind of surrendered to the mission, it sounds really grandiose, but it really does feel missional, purposeful.
Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as I made that decision and made it certainly, you know, it, with the full involvement and support of my wife and, you know, kind of settled on it and said, okay, I'm going to set a date and I'm going to do it. October 1, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man, how the phone started to ring even before I made any kind of a public announcement that that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Man, my calendar's filling up fast.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I may be absent a little bit more here from the microphones just because, you know, there's work to be done.
Yeah. And we'll, thank goodness for technology, we'll catch you when we can catch you, but you may be on an airplane or in a car in the middle of South Dakota or someplace.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if we have to wing it, we'll wing it.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for you and the things that you've wanted to be able to see happen, you know, for a long, long time. So,
well, I'm especially excited for the Samson Society, which is just entering a whole new phase.
Yeah.
The virtual meetings are exploding.
Yeah.
We've got the big fall Samson retreat, which is, we're already at double last year's registrations. We have to cap it. We're going to be full.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have to turn a few guys away. I hope we don't have to, but
yeah,
know, that's a sad thing. But that's just weeks away. You'll be there. I'll be there. KK is going to be there.
I was going to say, I think word got out that KK's coming, actually.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Just shot the whole thing right over the right over the top. So, and she's excited. You know, I was talking to her the other day. She is so excited to be there and bring her thing, you know, and it's going to be good.
I can't wait to see where that thing goes. Yeah. Meanwhile, it feels to me as though it reminds me of the early days of recovery for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started getting sober, when with the help of God and other people, I was able to shut down that second life, that second operating system, that secret operating system that was always running in the background, if not the foreground, and start to live a single life, you know, in something resembling integrity. It amazed me. I was not aware how much energy and creativity that second life was siphoning away.
Yeah.
Until I shut it down.
Yeah.
It felt like, I mean, not only did I have far more time than I had ever had. It's like the days got longer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I had far more energy, and it felt like my creativity about tripled.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal, you know, as I had been up to that point pretty much the poster boy for unfulfilled potential. Great at starting things, but even better at not finishing them, right? How it became, insights flooded in.
Yeah.
Energy, the ability to focus and concentrate, and I was able to be creative and productive in a way I'd never been in my life before.
Right.
This wave of creativity is not quite as strong, but it is evident, you know, every bit as noticeable. It's like I've got fresh wind in my sails. I'm really, I'm waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, like ready to roll. Let's go.
Yeah. And one, you know, Nate, one thing that's exciting about it too is I think it's a byproduct of what we have to do in recovery, and that's harness that all or nothing thinking. You know, so in other words, you're not waiting until you can do this perfectly.
Right.
To jump in. I mean, you've got people around you also. You're not, you know, going out swinging in the wind by yourself.
No.
And you know how all that goes.
Sure.
So of course you're, you know, you're surrounded by people that are going to be good sources of input and encouragement and frankly logistics, logistical help. But that all or nothing thinking that we lived in for so long as in our active addiction never let us complete anything.
Right. And also because I needed to get validity from whatever I produced back then, because life was a performance. Right?
Yeah.
And I was a persona.
Yeah.
Now that I'm really, I don't feel like I'm performing anymore. I'm just living.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's not as though the audience is irrelevant. We do want to reach the audience. But whether I live or die doesn't depend upon their approval. I don't need the applause. Right?
Yeah.
So we could just go out. We don't have to do endless dress rehearsals. We don't have to do all kinds of private rehearsal.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't have to polish and just go out and do it. Do the best we can today.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't you think this is kind of a byproduct of the integrated life?
It is.
I mean, that we all continue to do and continue to experience and as challenging at times as it is still, you know, but integrating all of yourselves into one piece of true you, you know,
and flipping my, you know, I used to strive for integrity, which I thought was purity and perfection, and I have moved from that understanding of integrity to integration,
right.
And that, to me, that's what integrity is now. It's that I don't hide the shadow. I don't hide the failure.
Yeah.
I don't hide the success or the gift. You know, I learn, hopefully, on a fairly regular basis to go back and redo a fearless moral inventory that takes an unblinking look at both assets and liabilities.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then doesn't assign my value to that. My value is entirely independent of today's inventory. I think my value is assigned to me by God.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, you've been reading any good books?
I have. This one is one we've talked about a little bit, and I dove into it, I feel like late in the game because it's, you know, 8 or 9 years old now, but In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts.
Oh, Gabor Mate.
Yeah. That is really, it's so helpful in my world in dealing with people and individuals as clients. But his whole perspective on trauma and addiction and that we are, as a culture, punishing traumatized people.
Yes.
You know, is really impactful. Really worth exploring. And he's, you know, he wrote this as a reflection on really where a lot of this started, this stigmatization, so to speak, I think decades ago.
Yes.
This isn't new,
right.
You know. But that's really been challenging. And another thing that I think comes through that book is know what you already know. I believe he's the one that said it's him or Van der Kolk in the other book about the body keeps the score. Which is another book I would highly commend to people. But and we've talked about those books, both of those. But they say our role as counselors, coaches, sponsors, guides for people is to help them know what they already know and feel what they already feel.
Right.
And that is really profound to me. Because I think that, you know, so much of the time people sit in my office and we'll talk about things and I'll ask them something. They go, I don't know. Gosh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. And truth being, they do. But if I admit to myself the answer to this question, then I'm going to have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be confronted with the reality of what I really already know and what I already feel, you know? And so to help them know what they already know and feel what they already feel takes them to a place where then they confront whether they do anything about it or not is the next big, you know, bar to hurdle. But that book's been great, you know? And,
you know, I've been thinking a lot about trauma. We've learned so much in the last decade. about trauma as the most common root of addiction. That, mm-hmm. You know, I've heard it said just flat out by more than one therapist mm-hmm. that trauma lies at the heart of every addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to adjust our approach, our understanding, really our conceptualization of addiction to fit the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, this is one of the things I'm going to be talking about at the Samson Society retreat. We talk about addiction as a disease, and that's a helpful understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm beginning to think that it might be even more helpful and more accurate to think of addiction as a badly healed injury.
Mm-hmm.
So it begins with, if we liken it, let's say, to a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have an injury, break my leg.
Yeah.
That leg is going to heal.
Mm-hmm.
The healing process is going to begin within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Spongy bone material is going to form within 2 to 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to harden, and eventually the bone will be stronger than before it broke.
Mm-hmm.
However, if that bone isn't set properly, if mm-hmm. that injury isn't addressed,
right.
It's going to heal, but it'll heal badly.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that over time will affect blood vessels and muscles and other things around it. It'll affect my gait. I can actually be crippled by a badly healed injury.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, it can be corrected, but the correction is another trauma. It's got to mm-hmm. be rebroken mm-hmm. and reset. And then there is this delicate, this time. We have to respect the biology and understand that I can't get up the day after they re-break my leg and do 12 steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
amen.
The 12 steps are, and I think one of the, I love 12-step recovery. I'm so grateful for 12-step recovery. But we have to face the fact that the dropout rate is very high.
Extremely, yeah.
And I think the main reason it's high is because through that inherited all or nothing thinking and our own impatience and an thinking of it more as a disease than as an injury,
mm-hmm.
we push people into the steps before they're capable of making them,
mm-hmm.
before the healing process has progressed far enough
yeah.
that I'm actually capable of doing the work.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I was in South Dakota, Spearfish, South Dakota, a couple of weeks ago with a very interesting group of leaders, one of whom was an orthopedic doctor who attends athletes at one of the foremost universities in the country.
Wow.
So he's responsible for keeping the football team healthy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, of course, whenever there's an injury, I mean, the question is, how long is he going to be out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this guy had a very valuable phrase, you have to respect the biology.
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy tries to, if you don't take care of the injury, if you don't acknowledge the injury, if you don't treat it rightly, and if you try to put the guy back into action too soon,
yeah,
it can actually be career ending.
Yeah.
And so I see kind of career ending recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've tried to do too much too soon, where we've pushed people, or we've allowed them to push themselves, because we, you know, as addicts, we come into this thing. I mm-hmm. certainly did. I'm going to set the land speed record for recovery. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be back on the field next week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And how long can it take to check 12
yes.
steps on a piece
yeah.
of paper?
Exactly. And so when the inevitable lapses and relapses began,
mm-hmm.
inevitable partly because of the way I was trying to rush things.
Yeah.
And the lack of support. There was no splint. There wasn't enough cast. You know, I didn't.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I almost gave up.
Right.
If I hadn't had you know, the support of a really good sponsor
mm-hmm.
and a few good friends who helped me stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, as a Christian, an understanding of the gospel that was grace-centered rather than law-centered, that wasn't legalistic.
right,
where I was getting fed this compassion and empathy on a day, on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. That was hugely important to me.
Oh, yeah.
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 I was able to stay in the game through that early healing process.
Yeah. Yeah. I just heard a woman say this morning, she's an attorney and very accomplished in many, many areas of her life. Mm-hmm. And she's now gotten a few years of sobriety mm-hmm. and from alcohol abuse. And she said that her first several attempts to quit, of course, just, you know, failed miserably. But she said she was at a meeting and she was 5 days sober, you know. She said, I've got 5 days. And one of the, you know, old-timers said, yeah, talk to me when you've got a year and a half.
Oh,
and she went home and drank.
Yeah, right.
Because she's like, holy shit, I can't do a year and a half. I'm doing good to scratch my way through, you know, 5 days feels like 13 years.
Yeah.
And she said it was so discouraging because I immediately sent me this message that I should be further along.
Yes.
Or I should be something other than what I am.
Right.
Rather than saying 5 days is awesome. 15 minutes is awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I think that that expectation that we have of pacing ourselves and taking that in is hugely responsible for a lot of our setbacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, in the realm of Hungry Ghosts by Gaber Mate.
Yeah.
And The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. Yeah. Highly recommended.
Yeah.
And you've been okay. That's great.
Yeah, those are two big ones.
I love stepping off the reservation or going kind of the edges of recovery. And so I've been reading some interesting stuff lately. Let me see. I think we've already talked about The Biology of Desire by Martin Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just very fascinating, stimulating stuff. I found a really helpful book. Very helpful book that I'm enjoying, that I have enjoyed. Although I got to tell you, you know, I was a preacher in a former life, and I was a preaching major at Princeton, and so I have a hard time with bad preaching.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When a guy, it doesn't matter how good the message is, how good the concept is, if he can't present it well, I just get really critical and check out. It just bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I also, I don't know whether you know this, but I have been paid in the past as a professional book reader for audiobooks.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
I've actually taken courses in oral interpretation of literature. I know how to read a book out loud, so it's, you know, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I first encountered this book. I downloaded it on Audible. Mm-hmm. I feel horrible to saying it because I'm sure the guy is a nice guy.
Loves his mom, everything like that. I'm sure he does.
And I guess I about tipped over when he called Gaber Mate Gabor Mate.
Oh, ouch.
Okay. But his phrasing was off and the whole thing was just awkward. But I bought the print book.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Well, there you go.
And I just love this book. It's called Miracle Mornings for Addiction Recovery.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's a very, very practical guide to, this is the kind of coaching that I got early in recovery that helped set me up for success mm-hmm. later on.
Mm-hmm.
How to frickin' start your day.
Yeah.
How to set things up.
Yeah.
That will increase the likelihood of success. So I highly recommend the book, Miracle Mornings for Addiction Recovery. Joe Polish, I guess is how you pronounce it. I just did a Gabor Mate on him.
We can edit that out.
and Hal somebody, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Hal, who cares?
There are three authors like that book. I'm having a good time with one that just came out, written by a fellow podcaster.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. His name is Yes, it is. the podcast is the Elevator podcast.
The
Paul Churchill.
Recovery Elevator. Yeah.
Recovery Elevator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Churchill.
Uh-huh. And the title, drum roll.
Drum roll is Alcohol is Shit.
Love it. Yes.
No, but a very, very frank and, you know, helpful it's a description of his understanding of recovery and addiction and alcoholism as it has evolved over time.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily informed by Buddhism, actually.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It takes very much kind of a Buddhist approach to spirituality. So you got to have a high tolerance for Eckhart Tolle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it good. I don't know. It's just very, very helpful, stimulating, entertaining read, and I would commend it to our listeners as well.
Yeah.
And alcohol, of course, is shit.
Alcohol is shit. And it's a. I know I'm gonna download that book as well because we've talked about that. And
he's not the best reader in the world either. But at least he wrote the book, and it's his voice,
yes.
Right? You know what I'm saying,
yeah, okay, yeah. His voice, his passion, and of course we don't want to leave out the Russell Brand book. I know we've talked that up,
and that just to me that's top of the list in delivery.
Yes,
that audiobook.
You really
that's
need
what
the
I'm
audiobook.
Saying. If you're going to read Recovery by Russell Brand, mm-hmm. get the Audible version.
Yeah,
because it's just priceless.
Yeah, yeah, because he's just so on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
but you got to have a high tolerance for the word fuck because.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times he says it during the course of.
I don't know. I thought there was like maybe a fuck jar in the in the booth, and every time he said it, like he had to put a quarter in, and at the end of the thing, you know, they sponsored 90 orphans or something out of it. but you know what? He employs that word in the truest sense.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And it does not, to me, feel gratuitous and for the sake of shock.
No,
it
I is don't think so either.
Absolutely. Those of us that have been there know exactly when that word floats in and where he's using it, it applies, my opinion.
Yeah,
so,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, I've been a part of something kind of different, Nate. Ian Cron, our friend Enneagram, mm-hmm. Ian wrote back to you and all of that. Bless his heart, that book is just continuing to, stay in the top 50 to 60, 65 Amazon titles. It's just doing so well. Ian's kind of a part-time priest at my church. I told you in the audience about him. We have a class that he's allowed me to share with him. On Sunday mornings after our service, Episcopalians don't really do Sunday school. We go at 11 and we leave whether you're done or not. Whether you've processed out with the cross, it doesn't matter. We're going. So to get folks to show up for a class is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And so we have had about 100 people.
Wow.
Each week after church for what we call an adult forum.
Right.
Because Sunday school is like spraying people repellent on it, so we can't do that. But it is 12-step recovery for those who don't consider themselves, 12-step spirituality for those who don't consider themselves in recovery.
Oh, okay.
And the benefits of what these steps are and helping them not just understand the 12 steps, but helping them take the good universal principles of the 12-step kind of chronology, and see that it all leads to servanthood, you know, to that 12th step of serving others.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so how could we, and Ian is really good at making the point that we all really are addicts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we just don't all have substance abuse or sexual compulsivity or whatever, but we are all addicts.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a newsflash to a lot of these folks, by the way. You can kind of watch the wave go over the room of shock. But this class has been so fun because we get to talk about the principles and taking them outside of just addiction.
Yeah.
And in the sense that, you know, when we're surrendering in that first step, we're not just, so much of the time we talk about surrendering to our powerlessness over a substance or behavior.
Right.
When in fact, what we really are surrendering is why we engaged in those in the first place.
Yeah.
Our resentments, our emotional hostages, our people and situations that we think we are in charge of, you know, that we're doing God's PR and all the stuff that we all believe.
Yeah.
It's those things that have to be surrendered.
Yes.
Our ideology has to be surrendered.
Yeah.
And so it's been a really great opportunity for me to have to frame things in a way that in a different way than I normally address it with people.
Yeah. Please tell me that you guys have recorded these.
I don't know that we did. I know. Isn't that bad?
It kind of like the approach that Richard Rohr took in breathing underwater?
Yeah, very much like that.
Yeah.
In that, you know, you can actually, you know, read that book and not going into it identifying as an addict.
Right.
But then when you're into it, go, every bit of this applies
somewhere
in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've had guests come in, and we're still going to get you over here 1 week. We've got some steps to go. So.
Okay, yeah, well, let's book it up quick. I don't have very many free weekends left before the end of the year. It's
and
amazing.
By free, we mean we don't pay you.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
It would be a free weekend.
Okay, good.
Just to be clear.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I get paid plenty when people just pay attention. That's all I know.
Amen. That is absolutely true. Absolutely.
Well, speaking of people and paying attention, there is a huge convention of Christian counselors in town this week. Mm-hmm. They come every 2 years, a massive wave. There's going to be 6,000 of these people over at the Opryland Hotel and Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And I have an appointment to be there to man the Samson Society booth shortly.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be wrapping you up.
So I think, even though this is a shorter episode than usual, I think it's about time we wrap, say goodbye to our listener friends. Remind them that we do love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can contact us anytime. Just shoot us an email at positivesobrietypodcast@gmail.com.
Right. And we'll be doing another mailbag episode soon, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we will. We will answer your respond to your letters. I don't know that we can answer anything, but we can certainly respond.
We'll empathize. We'll be an empathetic witness to your pain, if nothing else.
Yes, that's right. We don't promise to solve anything, but we'll sit with you in the shed.
That's right. Yeah, otherwise we'd be open for malpractice or something.
That's it. No. But here's what we do trust. Here's what I do trust. I do trust, David, that we are designed to heal. I'm convinced of that.
Mm-hmm.
We heal and we learn for as long as we live. And the question only is, are we healing properly and are we learning the right thing?
Yeah.
Okay? Is there something that we have to, that has to be rebroken so that it can heal better? Is there a different kind of learning that we have to do?
Yeah.
But that impulse toward growth is always there. It's not something we have to summon, something we have to create.
Mm-hmm.
It's built in. It's part of that beautiful design.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. Thanks for staying with us, listeners. Until next week, I'm Nate.
And I'm David.
And we are your pals on the Positive Sobriety Podcast.
The Positive Sobriety Podcast is recorded at Crossroads for the Nations in Brentwood, Tennessee. Live producer Rex Schnelli. Music by Rex Schnelli. Theme music by Matt Ulrich. Hair and makeup by Lyle Lovett. Wardrobe by Kathy Gifford.